Hello, friends. Welcome to Bible Sunshine. We're glad you've joined us today. We want to continue studying how to have peace in our world, in the church, in our own hearts and lives. So open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 4, and let's read again these verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go to prayer now. Father, thank you that we can come to you, bringing our requests to you. I pray, Lord, for peace in our hearts. I pray, Lord, for anyone listening today who's troubled over some circumstance that's deep within their heart. I pray, Lord, that you will speak peace to them, that they will turn to you and rejoice in you. I pray for those troubled over illness, sickness in themselves or in someone else, that you will also give peace to them. I pray, Lord, for those troubled over circumstances going on around us in our society, Lord, that we will look to you and have peace. I pray, Lord, for those that are in conflict with another believer in Christ or with an unbeliever, someone in the family, someone at work. I pray you'll show them how they can have peace. Open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage, we see the subject of peace. Peace is so important for our well-being, that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord and rest in him in peace. And so we see how to have peace here in the church. How can we have peace in the church? That's verses 2 and 3. And we see how to have peace in the world, verses 4 and 5. To keep on rejoicing, to have a sweetly reasonable attitude, and to believe that the Lord is near. I want to take a moment and distinguish two words that sound the same, but have a little different meaning. Yesterday, in talking about the believing the Lord is near, I mentioned the word imminence and imminent. And there are two words that both sound like that. And so let me just take a little time to work on this. We believe the Lord is near in time. That is, he could come at any minute. Jesus could return. That word is imminent. I-M-M-I-N-E-N-T, or I-M-M-I-N-E-N-C-E, imminence. And the difference there is one little letter, I, imminence. We believe that Jesus could come at any time. His any time coming is what we mean when we say the rapture is imminent. It could happen today. We're not looking for signs to be fulfilled. Jesus could come today. And there's evidence that the Apostle Paul believed that Jesus would come in his lifetime. Well, he didn't. So we know this. Jesus coming is nearer now than it was in the first century. But there's another word. Jesus' nearness, the Lord's nearness, is also in space. Meaning he's nearby around us. He's omnipresent. But there's another word, immanence. It's I-M-M-A-N-E-N-C-E. Immanence. And the only difference between imminence and immanence is one has the letter I and the other has the letter A. And when we talk about immanence with God, we're meaning that God is all around us. That he is within reach, he is here, he is nearby, as opposed to his transcendence, that he is beyond us, he is above us and beyond us. He is imminent. He's right here in our midst. And both of these are true in this statement here. The Lord is at hand. He is at hand in time. He could come at any moment. Imminent. He is near in space. Immanent. He is all around us. He is not far away. And for the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ indwells us. He is inside us. And so he has promised never, ever to leave us or forsake us. What a blessed and wonderful truth. So how can we have peace in 2020 knowing that Jesus' coming is near and knowing that he is close by around us? Indeed, even he indwells us when we are saved. We know Christ is our Savior. Those are great reasons for peace. The Lord is near. Don't believe the devil's lie. If you're saved, don't believe the devil's lie that you're all alone, that no one cares about you, that even God doesn't care, that God is a million miles away and he's not concerned anymore. No, he's concerned. He is imminent. He is here with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And remember the blessed reality of 1 Peter 5:7. I can cast my care upon him. Why? Because he cares for me. He cares for you. Well, that's how to have peace in the midst of a troubled world. But let's look at this. How can we have peace in the midst of trials? How can we have peace in the midst of hardship and difficulty? Paul the apostle was suffering. He was in chains, as it says in chapter 1, verse 14. He was in chains, in bondage in Rome. And the Philippians were standing with him and supporting him. How is it that we, in the midst of trials, can have peace? Well, notice verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing. Now, that does not mean that when you're slicing potatoes, don't be careful so that you don't cut your finger. It means to don't be anxious. Don't be careful. Don't be filled with anxiety. Don't be consumed with worry. Someone has quipped that worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it will get you nowhere. Exactly right. Worry is like that. It'll give you plenty to do. You can get all tangled up in your thoughts. This verse is a command. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't be like the end of a piece of manila rope, frayed, going in several directions. Don't let your heart, your mind, be like a bowl of spaghetti, all in knots, all entangled, all going every which way. It is very easy to let our minds, our hearts, get divided over all the issues of living. We can worry about our daily needs. We can worry about tomorrow's needs. We can worry about next year. We can worry about someone else and what they think about us. We can worry about a million different things. And what does God say? Don't worry. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Go back with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. These are such wonderful words here. Matthew chapter 6. Notice Jesus' words in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Did anyone hear that? Jesus said, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And he goes on to define what we often worry about. What you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then Jesus gives us a little science lesson. He points us to nature, to birds. Verse 26 of Matthew 6. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I've said many times we need to watch the questions of Scripture. Pay attention to the questions of Scripture. And so Jesus said, isn't your life more than food? And isn't your body more important than clothes? And look at the birds. Aren't you of more value than the birds? The other morning I was sitting on our balcony and I heard this chirping, this very distinct song of a bird. And so I looked up to find out where it was coming from. And to my delight, sitting on the telephone or the power line was a beautiful red cardinal, chirping, singing, making this sound. And it was loud. I could hear it. It was just a blessing to me to see that beautiful bird that God clothed, that God put right there on that wire, singing his song or her song. I think it was his song. And does God care about me more than that bird? Does he care about you more than that bird? Absolutely. But he's feeding the bird. He's taking care of the bird. He'll take care of us. We can trust him. Look at what Jesus says as it goes on. Notice verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? And he says, God clothes the flowers of the field. O you of little faith, in verse 31, therefore do not worry. The Apostle Paul is repeating in a different form what Jesus said. Jesus' instruction, do not worry. But instead, what are we to do? We're to understand in verse 33 that our Father knows all about us. Beautiful words. Verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, the nations seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So what are we to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. He says it again. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But what if I get COVID? Well, what if a bomb drops on New York City today? You know, we can worry about all kinds of things. What if my apartment catches on fire? What if the grocery store runs out of milk? What if I don't have enough money for the electric bill? What if? Worry will give us something to do, but it will get us nowhere. And you know, putting it very bluntly, worry is disobedience to Scripture. Are you convicted? I am. I worry sometimes. The Bible tells me here, I am not to worry. I am not to be anxious for anything. Well, we're going to come tomorrow and to see what is another part of this, not to worry. What do I put in its place? Matthew says, I seek the Lord first. We'll see what Paul says about that tomorrow in Philippians chapter 4. Let me encourage you, dear Christian friend, don't worry. If you don't yet know Christ as Savior, unbelieving friend, run to the cross, believe in Jesus as Savior, turn from sin, trust in him, and you will be saved. Today we go to two very important countries as concerns persecution. One is a huge, huge nation. 1 billion, over 300 million, 1 billion, 300 plus million people. And I'm talking about India. in India, there is with their current government great persecution of Christians, mistreatment, beatings, destroying churches. So let's pray for India and for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are there. The other country is Syria. So India is number 10 on the World Watch persecution list. Syria is number 11, a country of 18 and a half.